Good evening and welcome to Transition Talk, where we have real conversations that transform lives. I'm your host, Brenda, and this is my husband, Andrew.
Good evening and welcome to Transition Talk. So tonight, we're going to get into the conversation of generational wealth. We want to be able to talk about how we can begin to build up wealth, not just for your family, but for your children's, as well as your children's children.
Yeah, this is a conversation that's much needed.
Yes.
Transitioning into generational wealth, not just making money for the now, not just getting by and living for the time or the day, but having forethought on how would I want my family to get along. How would they be when I'm not around? So we're having long forward thinking tonight about where we want our money to go.
Yes, not like you said, but not just money, but there's a time in your life, and I think we at that time in our life, that you begin to think about, you want to make sure your children are financially stable. You want to be able to know that your children's children, your grandchildren, will be taken care of.
Yeah.
But we want to be able to have some serious conversations about how to begin to build that. You know, how to begin to set up that your children as well as your children's children is set up financially.
You know, it's very important what you just said in our life. You know, I'm not going to tell you our age, but we're in a stage where we start thinking about outside of yourself.
Yes, yes.
You know, when you first get a job and you start working, get out of college, if you don't go to college, get a job out of high school, you're mostly thinking about yourself.
Yes.
You know, how you can get yourself established, how you can keep your, you know, your budget within your means,
I hope.
Budget, but as you grow and you begin to go along, your thinking should be more so outside of yourself because you have more people depending on you.
Yes.
It is sad, and it's prevalent around us. We have a lot of people that are up in age and still thinking that way.
Yes.
They're not thinking about the people outside. They're only thinking about themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, how they can make it. That kind of thinking is when you were in your 20s, right?
Yes.
Or your 30s. But when you get to, I'm not going to tell you my age like I said again. But when you get to a certain level of in life, you should start thinking about more than what I have and what I'm trying to get for myself.
Yes.
You have more people depending on you. You have more people in your life that you have to think about. But some of us die and not even think about outside of who I am and where I'm going.
Yes. And you know, but I want to start off with this scripture tonight, and it's going to be the foundation or the hinge where we get into generational wealth.
Yeah. Cool.
And this scripture is Proverbs 13:22. Mm-hmm. And it says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. So a good man, when it's saying that, a man that plans, a man that prepares, a man that set forth the ball, that letting his children know that they be taken care of, as well as his grandchildren.
And that's so important. You know, it's not about how much you leave.
There you go.
You know, some people think you got to be rich and live a lot of things to somebody, but you leave even a legacy of your standards.
Yes.
You give a legacy of your morals.
Yes.
You leave a legacy behind you because your children saw you carry yourself a certain way. So when we talk about generational wealth, we're talking about foundation.
There we go.
You have to have a foundation that your children or people around can build upon.
Yes.
If you don't leave anything, even if it comes to morals, the things that they can build on, you're leaving another generation to fend for themselves or to find their way. So when we talk about generational wealth, it's not so much of having riches or having money. There's so much in life that you can leave to your family other than money. So when you start thinking about generational wealth, think about how I'm living my life and what legacy.
There you go, legacy.
Would I leave behind? What would they know me as a legacy? Maybe some people know me, a legacy of prayer.
Yeah, now you're talking.
Or you may know a legacy of a person that's being that love their spouse or love their husband. It's so many things in life you can teach a hard worker, good work ethics. Those are things you can leave to your generations behind you. But a good man thinks about that.
And you know, babe, I want to interject here with a experience of life for me. Mm-hmm. I believe that in my family, my father left a legacy of hard work. Mm-hmm. I believe that my father, not that he didn't leave, like I said, a whole lot of money.
Exactly.
But he taught us the importance of hard work.
That's good.
And I seen my father go out and do all type of jobs to make sure that our family was taken care of.
Yeah.
And sometimes I make that so important today because some people think some jobs are beneath them.
Mm.
They don't want to go out there and do the basic jobs,
yeah,
knowing that their family need to be taken care of.
Exactly, exactly.
So I say that because sometimes a family can leave a legacy of hard work, yeah, and they know that I got to go out there and I got to punch that clock early in the morning,
yeah,
and I might have to go into the end of the sunset to make sure that I make money enough for my family to be taken care of.
I can really attest to that because I can really remember my dad being a person that, you know, was hardworking. And I remember him coming home and off the construction,
right,
every day. And I remember us taking his shoes off and my mom fixing him food. That left to me that he came home to his family every day.
Right.
He didn't, you know, leave us. He stayed with us. He was with us for dinner. I remember those times that mom was coming home and cooking dinner.
Right.
So they left a legacy of just having family gathering, value for family.
Yes, yes.
I remember him loving and doing what he needed to do for the household, doing what he needed to do. And I know sometimes he probably didn't have, you know, we asked for a lot.
Right.
I remember, but we asked for certain things. But he would make, I'll never forget this time, I'm going to throw this in, and I don't know if my daddy remembered this if he was watching, but I remember I needed a pair of shoes. And I didn't know as a child, you don't understand the level of what we have and don't have.
Right.
But he said he was going to get me those shoes. And my mom came to me and said, don't bother your daddy with that. You know, he doesn't have that. But see, he didn't want me to be a person to see him not having something.
Right.
So that day when I needed those shoes, I don't know how he got those shoes.
But he got away.
But as a child, I remember us going shopping for those shoes.
Mm.
So I mean, I remember him being a legacy, a man of his word.
Right.
If he said he was going to do something, he did it. So that's something you leave to your family, being a man of your word. As well.
And you know, fathers, and you know, as your children look to you, you got to be a person that be a man of your word.
Yeah.
In other words, I know my kids used to always get on me, they ask me something, and my statement was always,
what's your statement?
We'll see.
We'll see about it.
We'll see
about
it.
They hated that.
And they didn't like that because I didn't give them a definitive answer. But I want to make sure that if I say something, I want to make sure, yeah, that I can do that.
Yeah.
So I always said, we'll see if we can do that. We'll see if we can get that, or we'll see if we can go there.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, leaving a legacy to your children is more than just money.
Exactly.
It's about putting good morals or good, mm-hmm, you know, ethics in them so that they can build on to their children.
Yeah.
But tonight we want to talk about, you know, building generational wealth. And a part of that is being able to leave some type of financial stability for your children.
Yeah. And it starts with a conversation.
Yes.
You know, start with a conversation with your children. You know, Deuteronomy 8 and 18 says, he gives us power to get wealth.
Yes.
He gives us the strategies to get things that we need.
Right.
We pray and ask him to show us the way, show us our purpose, show us what he has for us. He will give you what to do to get wealth. But we have to be open and listening to God to direct us. But he will give us what we need. But it starts with a conversation with our,
yes,
children. Teaching them the value of a dollar.
There you go.
You know, teaching them about holding on to money,
mm,
and being able to give that tenth for tithing. Even if you have a dollar, we learn to give that 10 cent for your tithe. That was a way of being blessed.
Right.
Or giving to somebody else, not being so selfish. Because I'm going to tell you something. Being selfish and holding on to things is going to stop your blessing. That's for somebody. You cannot be stingy and be blessed.
Right.
You cannot hold on to things and hold a tight hand and get blessings. You got to be giving, a giving person.
You got to have a giving spirit.
I'm not
spirit.
Saying give everything away, but you got to have a giving spirit.
Yes.
To be blessed. You can't be a person that you a hoarder, everything for me, myself, and I. The more you hoard, you don't have room for God to give you anything.
Right.
But when you give and God can trust you that he can give you something, that you're going to give it to help somebody else, God don't mind adding to you. God don't mind blessing you, because he knows you're going to bless others with it. So not only that conversation of receiving money, but also that conversation of being able to give is important.
And you know, babe, you said an important thing when you say that communication, talking about finances.
Yeah.
I think it's prevalent in our community that we don't express financial literacy enough.
That's true.
Financial literacy is being able to sit down and have those conversations about money.
Yeah.
Teaching the value of a dollar.
Yes.
Teaching the difference between need and want.
Ooh, that's good.
Because sometimes we think our wants is a need, but really, we could do without it.
Yeah.
Especially our children. Sometimes we want to put into our children, they got to have the top of the brand tennis shoe.
Yeah, that's true.
They got to have the top of the line clothes.
Yeah.
They got to have the most expensive thing out there to just to hang with their friends. Not realizing that the most important thing is that your need is that you got a roof over your head. You got food on your table.
Yeah.
You got clothes on your back. There might not be designer clothes, but you have clothes on your back. And learning how to save a dollar instead of spending all your dollars to get those top tennis shoes, or your mama or your dad spending that money on tennis shoes that might last maybe one school season, because next year your foot outgrew those shoes.
That's true. That's true. And that's so important, like teaching them, like you said, the essentials.
Yes.
That your needs are being met. And I think some questions that help me sometimes, because I, Lord knows, I'm going to tell you, I'm not perfect when it comes to this area. I'm going to be honest. God put me with somebody to help me in that area. But I will spend some money. Anybody know me? Know me. But I learned to go into the store and ask the question, do I really need this? Like you said, or do I want this?
Yes, yes.
And there was a time in my life that I had to do that because I had to budget for my family.
Yes.
Not more so now. You know, we're able to get what we want mostly. But then you cannot be a husband that have to have the designer clothes when you know your bills need to be paid.
Mm.
You can't be a wife that if you don't have the latest hairdo or the latest red bottoms or the shoes that you would take from the light bill.
Ooh, Lord Jesus.
And go and try to look good. That is foolish thinking.
Mm.
And we have young women, young men that are in, you're breaking up your family because you are thinking more so of looking good.
Right.
Of the time. But you have to understand, make sure your essentials are met. And you can lay down at night and understand that my bills are paid.
Mm.
I can sleep at night and my car not being going to be repossessed. Because I paid my bills. I live within my means.
That's a big thing, babe. Like that word there, live within your means. And we can share this because we've been through some of this.
What you finna share with them,
babe? And my wife would tell you that, you know, we had to learn.
We did.
How to live within our means.
That was a process.
You know, that was a process for us. And it because was. We learned together.
Yes, we did.
Because one thing about it is that you have to know, like she said, you have to know, you know, how to be able to manage your finances.
That's true.
And we had to learn that together.
We learned it the hard way.
The hard way. But the thing about it is, and the thing that we learned mostly is that when it goes through finances, it's being able to, like you said, communicate and then be able to understand who's better with the finances.
That's true.
And let's be real about that. Now, it's our money. There's no thing about it. I got my money, she got her money. No, it's our money. What's mine's, what's hers is hers, and what's mine's is hers.
And what's mine is mine.
That's what
and
I said. But
what's mine is mine.
That's what I said.
And what, oh, you said that? Okay.
Yeah, I did.
And what his is mine too.
She just want to, guys, girls, ladies, she just want to reiterate that what's hers is hers, and what's mine's is hers. We got that point.
We laugh about that.
We know that. But the thing is that when you learn how to be able to manage what you have, if you got $100 in the bank, you got to learn how to manage it.
That's it.
If you got $1,000 in the bank, learn how to manage it. And then the Bible says he will give you to be good stewards over those things he given you. then eventually he'll trust you with $10,000,
yes, that's right,
or $100,000, or being, right, a millionaire. But that's, if God, exactly, can't trust you to be a good steward over $1,000 in the bank,
that's true,
how can he trust you to put $10,000 in the bank?
This is a good time to talk about that because it's tax season.
Ooh, Lord Jesus, you're right.
It's tax season. And some people get those taxes.
And it looks good.
And they go into the store, and you're going to be happy for the next month or two.
Mm.
They're going to be buying everything. They're going to go on trips.
Oh, baby, don't forget.
Or you're going to see pictures on Facebook, baby. They're going to be going on cruises and everything. They got that money. They can spend it. Now, understand that those taxes are not going to sustain you all the rest of the year. If you spend it on things that you know you cannot afford, you got to learn to take the money that you get extra like that. And we had to learn it the hard way, too. I'm not saying not to treat yourself,
right,
because we did that.
Right.
But you got to learn every time it's not we get extra money, it's not to treat ourselves.
Right.
Learn to put that money aside. Because guess what? As the years go on, you're going to have some things that come up unexpectedly. That tire is going to bust on you.
That's true.
Okay, that you got to get some more tires in the car. You're going to, maybe the child gets sick. Living for the now is not going to benefit you in the end. So this is a good lesson for tax season. Invest that money in something that's going to help you in the long run. Don't come in your church looking happy, get you a new hat and new shoes, and then by the next few Sundays you come in mad because you can't pay your bills. So let's be wise about what we have.
We have to be good stewards.
Gotta be good stewards.
What God give us. And then when we get it, like my wife said, when God bless you, and it could be through your taxes, it could be through a bonus on your job.
Yeah.
It could be inheritance through a loved one.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you got to be able to say, Lord, give me the wisdom,
on
how to spend this money or how to save this money. Because why? Because when God give it to us, he's really just trying us and see how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And you know, babe, I was reading as we was getting ready for this episode is that, you know, every generation, you would think, be getting wiser and wiser with their finances. But it's showing that every generation is getting more illiterate with their finances.
Mm.
Going through the generation, like the baby boomers, they was more wiser with their finances. They knew how to save a dime. They knew how to put a dollar aside, you know. And then we get into our generation, we are more of the stewards of what our parents, you know, went out there and worked hard for. We are the ones that will be in good stewards of it. And how we be good stewards of what God positioned us determines on how our children and our grandchildren live.
You know, that's a good way to go on that segue. We talk about three,
there you go,
building blocks,
yes,
for generational wealth. And that's good to talk about that because some people may not know, where am I in that area? Where am I in that layers, in those layers.
Yes.
There's three blocks.
Right.
And we start with, like you said, builders.
Yes.
The first block, the foundation of that pyramid is builders.
Yes.
Like he said, builders are the forefathers. These are people that did not have access to all the information that we have today.
Right, right.
You know, our forefathers, they worked, some of them worked on the farm, some of them didn't have an education.
Yes.
But they were very hardworking, yes, people. And they were builders. They did not have a lot of money, may not live in a lavish house or drive the best cars, but what they left as a generational legacy was ethics of hard work.
Yes.
And from that, we went to the next layer where you talked about those maintainers.
Yes.
That's mostly us, because maintainers at this point in our life, we should have education about savings.
Yes, yes.
We should have education about investments. And I want to talk about this one investment we talk about. We should have information about life insurance.
Ooh, Lord Jesus.
In our community, I'm just going to say, in our community, we don't want to talk about the importance of having life insurance. The sure as you live, you are going to die.
Mm.
Whether you want to believe it or not, there's going to come an end to us being around.
Yes.
In our community, we find so many families have not thought about what's going to happen if I leave this world. And when they do pass away, they don't have insurance, so what are we going to do?
They leave them in debt.
They leave in debt, and that's not only that, they don't even have money to bury it.
Mm.
They have to have a GoFundMe.
Mm.
And this is just real talk about us in our community. Have a GoFundMe because we haven't thought about what will happen when I leave this world. It's important to think about life insurance.
It is.
Just like you think about saving money for a Beyonce concert.
Ooh.
Mm. Because we know that's coming.
Yes.
Right? We start saving for that, right? Or we know that certain things that we want to do, we start saving to go on that cruise.
Right.
Guess what? Death is coming too. We should have to think about what's going to happen when that comes to my family. You need to start saving. And I'm not saying put a lot of money in your life insurance, but put something away that at least we can go get you a casket.
Mm, not...
At least, my God, I'm just being real. I'm sorry to say that. At least when I close my eyes, y'all not looking to throw me in the back of the funeral home. And I'm like, can I be real with people? And I'm telling you from life experience. And they have to sit back there and hold you there until we come up with some money. Mm. Don't do me like that.
Well, but you ain't got to worry about that.
Now. I know that. Well, I'm just saying, I don't think nobody want to know when we leave, you're going to put me in the back until you come up with some money.
Mm.
So at least start inquiring about it. You may feel like you can't afford it, but start asking around. You know, if something at least is $1,000, $2,000, you may not have a lavish money aside, but have something.
And you know, babe, just to set aside, and I'm just throwing some knowledge out there for those that might be inquiring about it.
Yeah.
Just to open up, say, a $20,000 life insurance, it's easier month to pay than you going to buy a burger meal.
Yeah, some people don't even know that.
You can go and get you a number five. Or you can go and get you some type of burger meal.
And you can supersize it.
And supersize it. It'd be a whole lot cheaper than you investing $10,000 into a life insurance for yourself or a loved one.
Exactly.
Because why? At the end, it does pay off because you might be grieving when that loved one is gone. But it's even a harder grieving. You got to figure out how you're going to bury them or how you're going to put them away.
It is.
You know, so sometimes we have to think about this. You know, you're saying, well, when I'm dead, I'm dead. But you're leaving a burden on somebody back here to make sure that they're taking care of you.
That's true.
And that's a part of financial, you know, literacy.
Yeah.
Being able to say, you know what, I'm going to make sure that my loved ones can take care of me. And then hopefully there might be a little bit for them on the side.
Hopefully they can take care of yourself and leave something for you. That's a good way to, and a lot of people don't know, life insurance is a good way to save as well.
It is.
You can use it as a savings.
Yes.
You know, what you don't use, say that you've been paying into this life insurance for a while, and you decide you just want to pull it back and say, I don't want it, because maybe you got a life insurance now on your job. You can take that money and use it for something else. So it's a good way to save, and that's something we learned as we went about, like, that's my financial literacy, getting to understand and knowing money, the importance of money. So, you know, don't be scared of it. Some of us don't want to talk about it, you know, especially when we are young, right? We don't want to think about it, but it's a reality of life that will happen. Think about what's going to happen when I'm not around. I want to make sure that everybody is taken care of, and please make sure I'm taking care of it too.
Well, bae,
we'll stop.
I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Amen.
But you know, we should take time to make sure that, you know, our loved ones are taken care of. That's a part of financial literacy. And when we talk about that, one of the key things, I think, Bae, you mentioned it as we was discussing, is that, you know, how do you invest in generational wealth? What is one of the key things to invest in generational wealth? And it says education.
Education.
And I know you're a big promoter on that, so I'm going to let you talk about that a little bit.
Education is so important. I tell my kids at school all the time, education will get you out of poverty. Because when we say knowledge is power, it's not just saying that. That is absolutely true. If you don't know the resources that are out there, you are living beneath your privilege. Mm. If you don't know where to go to get certain things, you are living beneath your privilege. Just having the knowledge of where to go, who to talk to, is of wealth of knowledge. It's a generational wealth. Right. You can teach your children what to do, how to open up a savings account.
Ooh, yes.
Do you know that some people don't even know how to go to a bank, open up a savings account? I never forget, I took my son, he was having a little job and he wasn't making a lot of money. I don't know if you remember this. I did it because he was the oldest. But I took him down to the bank and let him open a savings account. He didn't have a lot, but we did it. I wanted him to understand. I wanted him to see, this is where you go. to start a savings. Not so much of keeping it in a bottle in your room. I want you to see the establishment.
Yes.
I want you to get in the environment. I want you to see how people treat you, you know, when you have money. You don't want to believe it or not, but they treat you a different way when you have money. And you may not want to admit it, but when you have education and you know about money, they'll treat you a different way because yes. you're coming across in a way that you are knowledgeable. You know what you're talking about, and you're going to get a different response when you walk in the atmosphere. So education is important.
It is.
Teach that child how to go in those arenas and how let them go to the supermarket and how to talk to the cash person at the cash register and give the money and get change back.
Yes.
Count their change.
Yes.
That's education. Let them know how to you know, sometimes I went to the store and there was a young lady didn't know how to give me change for my $10 bill.
Not working there.
She worked there.
And didn't know how to
And she had to look at the register telling her how many dollars and how many cents. But you should understand on your own how to make change. Mm-hmm. You know, and we look back in history. You know, that's how our forefathers got robbed of their land. They got robbed of the things they had when they worked on the farm for so many years. You know that they would give them what they thought they owed. They didn't know how to make change.
Mm.
So in this day and age, I tell the young people, you should not let what our forefather went through transition over to this generation.
Mm.
There's no excuse that you know how to count money. You should learn how to count money. Teach your baby how to count money. Show them what dollars are.
Yes.
Show them what cents are. So when they get to those arenas, they know how to carry themselves. So education is big.
It is. And you know, Bae, to stick with that education piece, and I want to address this to the guys. And I know the ladies, you can piggyback on this too, but it used to be that some of the key things a lady looked for in a man was, you know, the physique, the car, bank account.
Uh-uh.
You know the main thing ladies looking for now? Baby, they're going to run your credit score.
Oh.
They want to know what your credit score is.
What's your social?
I don't know your social, but they're going to ask you why you dating. And they're still getting real with you. When they're getting real with you, they want to know what your credit score is.
Over dinner, we want to know.
And I'm going to tell you, that is very important in financial stability. Because one thing to have cash, it's another thing to have credit.
It is.
I'm going to say that again. It's one thing to have money sitting in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing you can go anywhere and say, I want to apply for a loan for $100,000.
My God.
And they look at your score and say, Mr. Page, how much you want?
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, men, it's important that you work with your credit score.
Work on it.
If you don't know how to do it, get with somebody that knows. Get a financial planner. Mm-hmm. Get somebody that knows how to get you out of debt. Because in this generation now, that's one of the key things to get you a house, get you a car, you know, even get in an apartment.
Yeah.
So you don't have to pay all of that interest. That credit score is essential. And some of us, we mess up our credit when we in high school or in college with debt and everything.
Credit cards.
You know, but there's a time, especially men, you got to be, if you want to be able to take care of your family and have an inheritance for your children, you got to begin to make sure your credit score is right.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get into all of it, but you should be looking to say, I at least should have at least a fair or a fair credit score, a good credit score, if I want to do something in, you know, in the realm today. And it doesn't take long. You can work at that.
And we're not talking about nothing that we haven't done.
That's what I'm saying.
We have done it.
I'm not telling you this. It's not like I'm telling you this and I don't know about it. I'm telling you because I experienced this.
Exactly.
I had to learn how to work my own credit score. I had made up in my mind and said, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm not going to be financially literate when I go. When I want something, I want to be able to go and get it. And I ain't got to think about, can I afford it? Or when they run this, I'm not sure if I'm going to get it or not. That's financial stability. So when you begin to learn that, you can walk into a store with confidence.
Walk in there with that 800.
See, I ain't got to tell you all that.
Walk in there with that 700, baby. Walk in there.
I walk in there with Jesus. How about that?
And better have Jesus.
When I walk in there, I walk in there.
Because if you don't have to some things, I'm going to tell you, in our day growing up, that what got us what we want. It was not no credit score. It was the hand of Jesus.
But let's be clear about that. Don't go laying your hands on your car when you know your credit score like 500.
Some people do that, baby.
And then
they get the car.
That's what I'm saying. Then you get the car. and you can't afford the car.
The car.
Because there's a difference. My wife and I, we talked about this. It's one thing to be able to buy something. It's another thing to be able to afford something.
Afford something. That's true.
You can go out there and buy something.
You can get it.
But can you afford it?
That's true.
And a lot of us, and I hate to say this, but a lot of church folks, because saints get wisdom. But a lot of church folks, they go out there and they buy things they can't afford it.
Name it and claim it.
They go with what the preachers are saying, and they jump and shout and all this, and they get excited about the moment they jump out there and buy them a car they know they can't afford, or they jump out there and they do something they know outside, they're just acting emotionally, and they know they can't afford it.
That's true.
But they buy it, and then they go right back to the church and say, can you help me pay my electric bill?
Oh my goodness.
Can you help me keep my lights on?
No.
My son needs some food, or this right here. So we got to use, I know... The Bible says, you know, give us discernment. But God also gave us five senses.
Oh.
And something is common.
They've been laying hands on that truck car every month when that car note come up.
And praying that it get
through. They go out there and the girl lay hands on the Lord, let me keep it.
And like
man, Lord, help me keep it.
And like we said, y'all, we're not telling you something we don't know.
God, help me keep it.
We're not telling you something we don't know, y'all, because we learned that you can be Holy Ghost filled.
Yes.
And you can be saved and have a mind to run on.
And still be illiterate.
But you still can be illiterate in your finances.
And don't judge a person by how you look and what they drive.
So ooh, Lord
that
Jesus.
Means, trust me, y'all, that means nothing. You can be riding a Mercedes and don't know how you're going to get home and eat. They don't have money to feed their family. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. So you don't judge by what you see all the time. Don't be moved by what they see and try to be like somebody else. You better learn to live within your means and be happy about
yes,
it.
Yes, that's the
you
main
know,
thing.
If you go to bed at night and I'm at peace and you got peace in your household, you may not have a Mercedes, but guess what? We got peace.
But you remember we used to go to Long John Silver's after church.
David, that was a happy day. Good, that was like going to Morton's.
I'm telling me, you and the kids,
we'd go to Long John Silver's
and split that meal.
We did, baby.
Boy, we were happy. In Pensacola, that's what it was in Pensacola.
But when we was able, because we couldn't do it all the time.
No, we not every Sunday.
But so when on Sundays we could.
Long John Silver's, here we come.
Long John Silver's, and those babies split their meal together. We had our meal. That was a good week.
That was a good Sunday.
We look back on that now. Now we can go eat at Ruth Chris when we want to, or we can go, you know, what we want to.
Yes.
J. Alexander. We can do that now.
Go ahead, baby.
We do that when we want to now. But I can look back on my life and I remember that we built. That's about building wealth.
Building generational.
You got to be a person that when you we're together, we're on the same accord. We're working together.
Yes.
And we're patient to get there. You can't be with somebody that she know you can't afford those things and she want to make you get in debt to please her. Mm. Or he wants you to get in debt to please him. You got to be able to be on the same page. I understand at that time in our life. Only thing we had was Long John Silver, so I'm good. Baby, you know what I want. Get my normal.
Listen.
Give me the two-piece fish.
That's it, the two-piece fish. And we got the little hush puppies
in the coleslaw. And you go home happy.
And we were happy.
And the children were happy. They got out. So that's about not focusing on what doesn't matter with all those... fashion and designer is focusing on we're happy, we're together, we got our needs met. And when I look at now where we are, I just thank God. I look back on those days.
Right.
And I know somebody's probably going through out there. And I know somebody probably can't. It's just something came on me. You may not understand how you're gonna make it and what's gonna, but listen, I've been there, I know. But yes. I'm gonna tell you, God is faithful.
He is.
Hallelujah. I look back, and I'm, excuse me for getting emotional, but God is so good.
Yes, he is.
He has brought us so far.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful to God.
We are. And you know,
I'm so grateful that God has kept us. And not only do for us, we can do for somebody else.
Yes.
But I don't regret the hardness we went through.
Yes.
I don't regret those times when we didn't have.
Yes.
Because it taught us how to have character and how to relate to other people.
Yes.
So whoever that, don't give up. God still is in your corner.
Yes.
He's there for you. And forgive me for that. But God is so good.
That's a touching moment. And it's real. That's what I'm saying. It's real.
God is so good.
When you can look back over your life and you see where God has brought you from.
He's so good.
And you see that God is faithful. Even when sometimes we're not faithful. And even though sometimes we're illiterate what we do with our finances. God is still faithful.
Yeah.
He will still make a way for you.
Yeah.
Yes. But the thing is, we have to trust him in the midst of those situations.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to say this, and I know we're getting ready to close up, but I have to say this, that, you know, I always think about my father. Like I said, he's a hard worker. And everything that I do, I always try to relate and say, I do not want to let him down in all the hard work he did and everything that he put in me to show that I take it lightly for all the work he done. Hard working, how he struggled, how we went out and did little odds and ends jobs just to make ends meet. I think about that even today. No, I don't have to struggle like that, but I know he laid a foundation in me that long as I go out there and do according to God's will and have the motivation to get out there and work, God always going to make a way.
Always.
He's always got, the Bible says that a lazy man, and it says really, but it says a lazy man, talking about an undefiled man, that if he don't work, he don't eat. Yeah. The Bible says, it says a man that don't work, don't eat.
Yeah. That's good. God is so good, and I'm so grateful. I'm hoping that, you know, we talk about those pillars, those builders,
yes,
which is our forefathers, we talk about them, our maintainers, which are us in this generation, and our children that comes after us. We don't want them to be squanderers.
No.
They kind of note them as squanderers.
Yes.
And the reason why they call them squanderers, they don't see everything you went through. They don't see the heart. They didn't see the hardness that you go through. So they don't really value what you have.
Right.
They just take it and squander everything they have. But to prevent that, it's important that we have those conversations with our children so they can see and understand,
yes,
you know, how we got where we are. And how we're going to continue to get where we are, to move forward in life. But I think it's in our community, in our generation of time, it's important that we get real about our finances and we understand that he wants better for us.
Yes.
We just have to make good decisions with our money. We got to make good decisions with the things that we do and we invest in. You know, investment is another whole level. We're not going to talk about that tonight.
Yeah.
But that is a whole other level when you talk about investing in different mutual funds, IRAs. Those are another level. But I think if you do the basics.
The basics, that's right.
You will get to that point.
Yes.
But let's learn the basics. Let's learn, yes, about saving.
Saving a dollar, yes.
Let's learn about
needs over wants.
Needs over wants. Let's learn about living within our means.
Yes.
Let's learn about not squandering what we have.
Right.
Let's learn about life insurance.
Yes.
Let's learn about those basic things. Let's learn about hard work.
Yes.
And those are the foundation that will get us as we build our way to financial freedom. Because that's, yes, really what we want to go. Like you said, walk into a store and not worry about how much it costs. You want, right, to be free to buy because now you learn what you need. You already know what you need, what you don't need.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is a very interesting topic, but this is a good start for talking about generational wealth.
Yeah.
And what we're gonna try to do is bring on some key speakers that can talk about financial planning,
yeah,
talk about, you know, maybe how to get your credit score right,
yeah,
or if you, maybe someone that can tell you who you can talk to about insurance,
exactly,
for your family.
Exactly.
So we don't know it all, but we want to be able to bring people in, experts.
Yeah.
They can talk about these certain topics.
Like you say, education is key. You don't know what you don't know.
That's it.
And so we want to educate as much as we can so we can better everybody around us. We're so glad that you joined us tonight.
Yes.
We are. Remember that this Thursday we will have our interactive Bible study live on Facebook, on YouTube. Be looking for the link on our Facebook page that you can join in and be a part of it. Last week we gave away $50 for our 50th subscriber. So don't forget, if you have not yet, subscribe on YouTube. And now we're also going to look for people to like our page on Facebook. Do that, and we're looking to celebrate as we move forward on this journey together. All right.
Amen.
Are you,
amen,
good for tonight?
I'm good for tonight. And just remember, a kingdom mindset
is a blessed mindset. Until next week,
be blessed.
Good night.